The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, there's a really creepy dude looking over my right shoulder here in the studio. Welcome back. It is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. That creepy dude would be none other than Chancellor Palpatine, Emperor Palpatine, Dark Lord of the Sith Palpatine for all my Star Wars friends out there. And that's going to make sense here in a little bit. We're bathing the studio in the color red today. Maybe that's in solidarity with what's going on in Canada, because there's some crazy stuff going on there. Unprecedented Justin Trudeau. And we're going to wrap Justin Trudeau and his actions there, unprecedented actions. We're going to wrap that into Star Wars, and then we'll wrap it into Prince Charles of Wales, who will, if the Queen ever dies, I'm beginning to doubt that she's mortal. If she ever dies, then Prince Charles perhaps would become the king. So that Prince Charles, last November at the UN World Leaders event, the Climate Change Conference 2021, on the heels of talking about Justin Trudeau and Emperor Palpatine and just the spread of tyranny, the takeover of the world by forces of darkness, which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's exactly what's going on, and that will lead us eventually to Special Counsel Durham, John Durham, and what's going on there, some more takeover attempts. And then we'll finish with a really interesting story about a Catholic priest who was incorrectly performing thousands of baptisms by changing a word, which then makes them invalid. So if you were baptized by this particular Catholic priest. Whoa, what just fell? There's a little light. Some lights fell. Can you come fix that? If you were baptized by this particular priest there in the Phoenix area, then not only is your baptism invalidated, but your salvation itself. So we'll end up there today on the show as we kind of work our way through these crazy things. But let's go to Canada first. This is wild. This happened yesterday. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergency Act on Monday in an effort to crack down on protesters that have shut down parts of Ottawa and various border crossings with the U.S. Okay, so just think in terms of what we've seen happening here in the United States and around the world with respect to COVID. Keep the Great Reset in the back of your mind, and I've got a full show coming up on that in the near future. I'm almost done with Glenn Beck's book, although I've done full shows on the Great Reset before, but it's a great resource to really understand what's going on there. So this is all in kind of like an end times mentality as we push towards the day when pretty much all hell breaks loose on Earth and all the power is condensed down. Okay, so it's all setting up nicely, so you can rest assured in that. So this is what's going on because of the protesters, right, that have shut down parts of Ottawa and various border crossings. Trudeau informed his cabinet and Canada's premiers of his intent Monday morning. The prime minister's announcement marks the first time the act, which replaced the War Measures Act in 1988, has been employed. Quote, listen to this. This is just amazing. After discussing with cabinet and caucus, after consultation with premiers from all provinces and territories, the federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations. Whoa, those are pregnant words. Trudeau announced in a press conference, I want to be very clear. The scope of these measures will be time limited, geographically targeted, as well as reasonable and proportionate to the threats they are meant to address. The Emergencies Act will be used to strengthen and support law enforcement agencies at all levels across the country. It gets more interesting. The Emergencies Act powers will strengthen law enforcement's ability to fine and imprison protesters, according to the Prime Minister. The Act will be enforced most heavily in areas of critical infrastructure like airports and border crossings. Trudeau said that the Act also ensures essential services such as towing away trucks used to blockade roads and highways. So they're going to force tow truck drivers to do it? Good luck. In addition, financial institutions, listen to this, will be authorized and directed to render essential services to help address the situation, including by regulating and prohibiting the use of property to fund or support illegal blockades. I mean, this is wild. The Prime Minister emphasized that the Canadian military would not be called in to break up the demonstrations. We're not using the Emergencies Act to call in the military, he said. We are not suspending fundamental rights or overriding the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. We are not limiting people's freedom of speech. We are not limiting freedom of peaceful assembly. We are not preventing people from exercising their rights to protest legally. We are reinforcing the principles, values, and institutions that keep all Canadians free. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister described the use of the Emergencies Act as a last resort. Now, Chrystia Freeland, Canada's finance minister, this gets crazier, later said that banks and other financial institutions in Canada have the authority to temporarily cease providing financial services where the institution suspects that an account is being used to further the illegal blockades and occupation. This order covers both personal and corporate accounts. Crowdfunding platforms, which protesters have used to sustain their weeks-long demonstrations, would fall under the enforcement of Canada's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing rules. Did you catch that? Terrorist financing rules. Like if you're trying to donate money so they can buy food or lumber to keep a little fire going or gasoline to keep the truck going, like diesel, right? These changes cover all forms of transactions, she said. The illegal blockades have highlighted the fact that crowdfunding platforms and some of the payment service providers they use are not fully captured under the proceeds of the Crime and Terrorist Financing Act. Oh, man. The Emergencies Act defines an emergency as a situation that seriously endangers the lives. This is what we've been doing across the country, even here in America. Why am I looking at Microsoft on the screen, by the way? Protesters with the Freedom Convoy have shut down parts of downtown Ottawa, yada, yada, yada. So the Emergencies Act. So this is what they're doing. They're using the power of the federal government in Canada to basically go after everybody, to exercise emergency powers in order to shut down, start arresting, go after the money supply, go after the crowdfunding. So if you've donated $50 to the Canadian truckers in the past 3 weeks, well, guess what? You're now the Crime and Terrorist Financing Act is now you're on that radar screen. Because that's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing rules that they're going to use. That's what's happening under the Emergency Powers Act there. But then, of course, he says, and I'm going to get to Emperor Palpatine when we come back after the break. Then, of course, he's saying, you know, it's a last resort. It's temporary. But remember, just like our federal government, every time it expands, every time it encompasses more power, every time it adds more to its ability, it doesn't turn around and set it down. That started all the way back in the Civil War, and it hasn't stopped since. The federal government here in the United States of America and the government up in Canada, the more they take power, the more they retain it. They will not set it back down. Why do I know that? Human depravity and the sin nature of man. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. This century, the last 4,000 years of human history. You can bank on it. So much more to talk about. This is really, really dangerous. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show Takeover, the name of the show today, as we're looking at what's going on up in Canada. This has already been going on in America. It's happening around the world as the governments continue to abuse their power, expand their power, and they promise they're doing it for your good. And eventually it'll lead to the Great Reset or something like it, because when you go look at the national debt clock and then look at the world debt clock and by a country-by-country basis, sooner or later the whole thing collapses. Enter into Antichrist, enter the eschatology and end times and what happens there. And it all makes sense and it's all setting up nicely. So part of me is like, wow, it's like going to a movie, right? At the IMAX. And you're like, wow, this is crazy. Look at all this crazy stuff happening. Whoa. And that's exactly what's going on. So don't forget that. That should help you sleep a little bit over at night and not lose your mind, because this is all going to come to be. Right? Wars and rumors of wars, all this stuff will increase until the tribulation, great tribulation, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, when Jesus comes back, the rapture of the church. Well, but he's coming back and there's a bunch of stuff's going to hit the fan and it's going to get worse as we get towards the end. And so you see this stuff lining up. So take heart in that. Just that should remind you, God's word is true. These things will happen. It's inevitable. You can't get away from it. But it is fascinating to exercise your biblical worldview and discernment and wisdom and watch it happen and see it as it comes. We are told to pay attention to the signs of the times, right? Pay attention to the seasons. We don't know what day. We don't know when everything's actually going to break. But we know it does. And we know when we move in that direction. and we certainly are today. So this was Justin Trudeau just yesterday. Now, he was saying, I want to be very clear, the scope of these measures will be time limited, not permanent, but temporary, geographically targeted, yada, yada, yada. And as I was reading that, I was like, this sounds familiar, me being a Star Wars fan. This sounds exactly what happened in the prequel trilogy. This was in Revenge of the Sith when all of a sudden the ruse was Jar Jar Binks, the Star Wars character everybody loves to hate, who says, oh, yeah, we got this whole war thing going on, and the chancellor needs emergency powers because things are getting out of control, and he needs emergency powers in order to restore peace. I'm like, wow, this sounds familiar. So, look, this is a little clip, okay, and I'll help you make more sense of it on the other side of it. But this is Palpatine when he's saying, yeah, thanks. I got to have some emergency powers here. This, I'm like, I've heard this story before. All right, roll it.
I love democracy. Mm-hmm. I love the Republic.
Turn it up.
The power you give me, I will lay down when this crisis has abated. And as my first act with this new authority, I will create a grand army of the Republic.
Okay, excellent. Okay, stop right there. This is my first act. I'll create a grand army of the Republic. Why? In order to save you, in order to help you. I'm here to look out for you. Thank you for these emergency powers. I accept them reservedly, and I'm going to do my duty. Then I'm going to lay them down. And then, of course, everybody's clapping, and that's when I just forgot her name. I hate getting older. What's her name? Anakin's love interest. Luke and Leia's mom. Padme. Who's a senator at that point. She goes, so this is how democracy dies. To thunderous applause. Yep, that's about right. Okay? So this is like the plot of how many movies? And it's the plot of what's going on in America. It's the plot of what's going on in Canada. It's the plot of what's going on around the world. So protesters doubled down. They're coming back. Trudeau says this. And so this is what's going on. This is why it's so encouraging to watch the truckers and everybody else up there. A guy named David Paisley, he's been protesting for weeks now, and this comes out. He says no one really cares about any new announcement. I mean, the police have been breaking the law long before any emergency power. They were taking our fuel away. They were arresting people for purely having jerry cans or having empty tanks of fuel. They've already been doing these emergency powers, and all it does is make people dig their heels in more, he added. The irony is that these are the very powers and threats why we're here. The very fact that the government's abusing its power in this case when it came to vaccine mandates is why they're there in the first place. Paisley said the protests would continue despite frozen bank accounts or impounded trucks until every protester is cuffed and thrown in prison. He said the Trudeau government underestimated the determination and the intelligence of those here, and so everyone's still here on the ground. They're basically willing to give their lives for this, peacefully, of course. They're prepared to drain every last dollar, even from frozen bank accounts, he later added. The more the government tries to stomp this out, the more and more it causes people to rise up and say this is wrong, and I side with these truckers. These steps from the government have simply hardened the determination of the great men and women down here, so I'm not really concerned at all. Good for them. Then this was wild. This is from the Toronto Star, the editorial board. This just came out today. Invoking the Emergency Act is a shocking admission of failure. This is the editorial board of the Toronto Star, huge newspaper up there. Many will cheer the Trudeau government's decision to invoke the Emergencies Act to deal with border blockades. They're fed up with the protests, and that's entirely understandable. But we will not be joining the cheering. Federal emergency powers may now be necessary as a last resort, but going that route is a shocking admission of a failure by government at all levels. This was and remains a policing issue. Right from the start, even before the truckers' convoy rolled into Ottawa, there were laws on the books adequate to deal with this. That's why the guy there, he just resigned, the head police in Ottawa. He's out, the chief. But in Ottawa in particular, we've seen none of that over the past 2.5 weeks. Instead, we've seen dithering and buck passing all around. Indeed, until a couple of days ago, the federal government's position was that local authorities had all the tools and resources they need to deal with the occupation. But now, all of a sudden, the federal government is taking the extraordinary measure of invoking the Emergencies Act for the first time since the law was passed in 1988. Even if those powers will be, as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said on Monday, time limited, geographically targeted, and don't involve actually bringing in the military. So what changed? Listening to the Prime Minister, it was entirely clear. He said the occupation and border blockades are illegal and economically damaging. That's true, but it was true last week and the week before as well. Right? So what's going on here? The problem was not a lack of powers or resources. Once authorities decided to act, they were effective. But in Ottawa, the failure of local leadership has been total. So you local folks can't get it done. You're not masking enough. You're not vaxxing enough or whatever. And so the federal government needs to step in for the good of the nation. Does that sound familiar? Now, in our country, you still have states that can basically tell the federal government to take a flying leap to a certain extent, like Florida and Texas and others. But that, as the states get more and more hooked on federal money, which they are already, it's the second or third biggest source of revenue for just about every state in the union is federal money. Title IX money, educational money, block grants, Pell grants, all that kind of stuff. Grants and aid. The second or third biggest source of revenue for just about every state in the union is federal government money. So sooner or later, they're going to exercise their authority. They're doing it more and more all the time. So Canada is just echoing what America's already done and governments around the world have been doing since the whole COVID crisis started. Which leads me to another thing. So another clip when we come back from the break. Prince Charles of Wales, that Prince Charles, last November 2021, was at a UN World Leaders event, the Climate Change Conference 2021. This is going to sound like, you have to think, I'm going to set this up for you. Think about the Great Reset. I've done shows on it before. I've got another one coming up because I'm about done with Glenn Beck's excellent book on it. The Great Reset, the expansion of federal power, the abuse of the small guy out there, and just the exercise of federal power in terms of, hey, we got an emergency. We have to solve it. What's the greatest emergency facing most of the people on the planet, according to the Great Reset folks and the progressives and people on the left? It's climate change. That's the ultimate trump card. COVID's nothing compared to the destruction of the entire species on the planet. And in order to save all of us, well, you'll hear it from Prince Charles himself. We'll be right back. Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So many interesting things going on today. Little shout out right quick to my friend Sharon, who's just one of my pro-life heroes that's out there. And she put something on Facebook earlier today that you could really go to town on something like this. When it comes to end times theology, thinking about the Antichrist, the rise to power of the Antichrist. So let's turn to none other than Prince Charles, since we're talking about takeovers today. Prince Charles. The Prince of Wales. Yeah, that Prince Charles. So in November, and Sharon put this up on Facebook, and I was like, whoa. I've been studying the Great Reset for a couple years. I'm almost done with, hey, there's Sharon. I'm almost done with Glenn Beck's excellent book, an excellent resource on the Great Reset. I mean, things are setting up nicely. It's really amazing. So Prince Charles is going to fall right into this. Knowingly or unknowingly, it doesn't really matter to me at this point because he says what he says. You're going to hear that in a sec. So Climate Change Conference 2021, November of last year, and Prince Charles is talking about the climate disaster facing the whole world is going to be the eradication of the human race. And so COVID is one thing, and the Great Reset people love that because it showed that, boy, we have to have a more cohesive international capability here, globalism, in order to thwart the threats of something like a global pandemic. But a global pandemic with COVID is nothing like the ultimate destruction of the earth via climate change. It's nothing. So how do you do that when you can't get China to play ball? You can't get all these different people to play ball. How do you do this? And now, how do you pay for it? I mean, it's trillions of dollars. Trillions. Like the Green New Deal, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, you know, has a background in a restaurant service. All of a sudden, she's got the Green New Deal figured out to tens and tens and tens of trillions of dollars for the cost. So this is him speaking. Ready? This is him speaking. Just listen carefully, and then we're going to pull this apart a little bit. And just listen to what he's suggesting. And get in the back of your mind, just think Antichrist. Just listen for some kind of Antichrist language in here. But listen to what he's suggesting in terms of being able to galvanize the world in order to deal with climate change. All right, hit it.
The scale and scope of the threat we face call for a global systems-level solution based on radically transforming our current fossil fuel-based economy to one that is genuinely renewable and sustainable. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Okay, so this is a pretty large vision, but did you catch the little Antichrist thing there? Did you catch that? So global systems level solution, because this is the destruction of the earth we're talking about here. So it's not like America can come to the rescue, or China, or Great Britain, or India, or whoever. Not the EU. No individual country, no particular business can do this. If you've got to change the entire global economy, that's what he's talking about, transferring the entire global economy out of fossil fuels to a green system, okay, which doesn't even work anyway. Every section of industry he's talking about. Every section of industry. Trillions, not billions. Countries can't afford to go green, so if the countries can't afford to go green, how do you do this? You need a vast military-style campaign. What does that mean? Does that mean at the end of a boot? Not necessarily a vast military-style campaign, but a military-style campaign is all-encompassing. Domination. Air, ground, sea, land, all of it. And this is like a takeover. Vast military-style campaign, and he's just using this language so easily, right? No big deal. This is just what it's going to take. If we're going to save the earth from mankind, we need a global solution. We need basically this global team. And trillions of dollars, and did you catch it? At his disposal. Now, is that a slip of the tongue? What is that? At his disposal? All right, go back. I want to play this again. Let's go back to the beginning of that clip. Listen, discernment and wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Yeah, go find it, because I want to play it again. And then just listen to the scope. Again, think logically. If you have an earth-ending event, global climate change, okay? Climate change, earth-ending, all right? Everybody's going to die, all the plants, your pet, your horse, your cat, your dog, your goldfish, everybody, we're all dead. And so if you're going to, this is like a movie, if you're going to do this, you need a global response. This is a global event. This is a planet killer, okay? So the only way you can fight that is you got to have a global response that's coordinated. And all these countries can't even afford to do it. So who does it? Who's going to be able to pull that off? Who's got the juice? Right? You ready? Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's play the whole thing again. Prince Charles.
The scale and scope of the threat we face call for a global systems level solution based on radically transforming our current fossil fuel based economy to one that is genuinely renewable and sustainable. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector.
To take over everything.
With trillions at his disposal.
With trillions,
far
all right,
beyond
there it is again.
Global
okay.
GDP.
With trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP. So government money isn't enough. The private sector, all private sector, you have to mobilize the entire thing. And who can mobilize the entire globe? Who can do that? Trump? Pelosi? AOC? Vladimir Putin? Prince Charles? No, nobody. You're going to have some supernatural mojo to pull that off, aren't you? But when again, just think logically. We're talking about a planet killer. This is a global extinction event. That's what they believe. Even though God created Earth and God will deal with the Earth at the end, and get off your high horse there, humankind. Okay, get off your high horse. So But this is how they see it. Go start studying the Great Reset. I'll do a show in the near future. I'm almost, like I said, I'm almost done with Glenn Beck's book. I've studied the Great Reset before. I've done full shows on it. You can go look it up. Go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. Go to the little search box, put in Great Reset, and you'll find several shows that I've done to unpack it. And all the different international leaders, national leaders, like governmental leaders, industry leaders, think tanks, they're all in the Great Reset. It's huge. It's massive. It's a global elite. And they meet in Davos every year. And Trump spoke there, but he upset him, which is good. But you got all these Prince Charles, all these other people, the biggest companies out there, the most powerful people out there, they're all part of it. Because they say, oh, well, COVID's bad, but that's not going to kill everybody on the planet. But you know what will? It's climate change. That's going to kill everybody. And in order to save everybody, we have to consolidate power. It's going to take trillions of dollars at his disposal. And you're going to have a vast military-style campaign. Does this sound familiar to anybody? So just another little step forward. Okay, not so little. But you better be paying attention to the Great Reset, because what the Biden administration is doing, whether that's Joe Biden and or the rest of his folks, that you got to think logically here. Set your politics aside and just go, okay, America's heading down a terrible road. $30 trillion in debt. We've got another $80 to $120 trillion hanging out there in unfunded liabilities. In 4 years, 5 years, we're going to be at $50 trillion in debt. It's not going to be that long before we can't even afford the interest payments. So when you have a company that's going under like that, what do you do with it? Well, you can declare bankruptcy, right? Just shut it all down. What does that look like? Or maybe you sell it. You sell the company, but some bigger company has to come in and buy. Who can buy it? Can China come in and buy out America? I don't think so. Maybe you just merge. Hey, Canada. Hey, Mexico. Hey, South America. Let's have a little chat. If we merge, then we can bring all of our GDP together. We can spread out our debt, and then we can all survive as opposed to all of us die. United we stand, divided we fall. So it's just bizarre to play this stuff out. But it's all on the table. Okay, all this stuff is coming. So I can understand for somebody that rejects a biblical worldview and knows nothing about theology, which I assume Prince Charles doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, when he says his, under his control, then you've got this very real emergency, and the only thing that can figure it out, man, we need to change the whole thing, or we're all going to die. We need to reset the whole system, i.e. the Great Reset. Boom. It all makes sense. You don't need Common Core math to figure this out. But then if you have a biblical worldview, you know what's coming anyway. It's all lining up nicely. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. How appropriate. Listen up.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
That day's coming, friends.
Everybody won't be treated all the same.
He'll come back. He'll judge the living and the dead. The goats. This way. Right. And the Lamb of God, and you just got to know. You got to understand this stuff. And then, to me, it's fascinating. It's interesting. I enjoy talking about it. It helps build my faith as I see what I've read and I've learned from a theological perspective coming to a fruition here in the world. That's been like that for a while, but now it seems like things are spinning more rapidly. And to me, I'm like, hey, great. It just builds my faith. And I'm concerned about the loss. We should all be concerned about the loss. But this stuff's on a track that you're not going to change, okay? So it doesn't matter who's in the White House, ultimately. God's plan will come to fruition. These things are going to happen. And so the question ultimately is, do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? That trumps everything. Forget the Great Reset. Forget climate change. Forget Justin Trudeau. Forget COVID. Forget all that stuff. All that stuff falls away. What doesn't fall away is your soul. It's eternal. And you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Either you're going to own God's judgment of the sin in your life, or that's been transferred to his son on the cross, who then defeated death when he rose from the grave. Those are your only two options. That's why Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, that's not fair. Hey, you should be happy that there's a way at all, that he provided a way. There's nothing we could do when the creator of the universe is a moral agent, a moral king, the perfect judge. Nobody's getting away with anything, ultimately. That's why an atheist, you know, there's no justice ultimately for an atheistic worldview. There's no justice. You know what happened to Hitler? He got away with it. Every child abuser, molester, rapist, the abortion doctor, they all get away with it. There's no justice. Sad. All right, Takeover is the name of the show today. They tried this with Trump. So keep your eye on the John Durham, special counsel John Durham. This is crazy. This has been coming out for a couple of days now. This is in the National Review. Reportedly said in a new court filing that a technology executive working with a Clinton-tied lawyer accessed White House servers. This is an attempt to take over, as well as internet data for Trump Tower and elsewhere in connection with an effort to dig up dirt on Donald Trump and establish a narrative linking him to Russia. Remember all this? Russia, Russia, Russia. So this was during the campaign as well as once he got into office. The February 11th motion obtained by Fox News and the Washington Examiner pertains to potential conflicts of interest, no kidding, regarding the defense team for Michael Sussman, the indicted lawyer who had been working for the Hillary Clinton campaign. In the court filing, John Durham wrote that he has evidence Sussman's other client, Technology Executive One, and sooner or later this will come out, exploited internet traffic data on a particular healthcare provider. 2, Trump Tower. 3, Donald Trump's Central Park West apartment building. And 4, the Executive Office of the President of the United States, the EOP. Technology Executive 1 was previously reported by CNN to be former Newstar Senior Vice President Rodney Jaffe, while the healthcare provider likely was Spectrum Health, according to the Washington Examiner. Durham reportedly wrote that Internet Company 1 accessed dedicated servers for the executive offices of the president as part of a sensitive arrangement whereby it provided DNS resolution services to the executive office of the president. Further, Tech Exec 1 and his associates exploited this arrangement by mining the EOP's DNS traffic and other data for the purpose of gathering derogatory information about Donald Trump. Watergate, anyone? This is worse than Watergate. Watergate was... This is essentially digital bugging. Okay, Watergate, let's go in and bug the offices of the DNC. There were all kinds of crazy things going on. Nixon was a crook. And then like 60, 70, 80 people were indicted. Like 40, 50 of them were convicted. There were heads rolling all over the place. Right? G. Gordon Liddy, all those guys. And then God did some amazing work there as well during all of it. But this is like the digital version of Watergate. They're spying on a presidential campaign and then gathering information from the executive office of the White House. The DNC headquarters in Watergate's one thing. The West Wing is an entirely another thing. This is like, this is where if somebody says, is that treasonous? I'm like, okay, I can start understanding that. I mean, this is high level digital information gathering, call it spying, dealing with the potential president, and then a sitting president. Following Durham's revelation, Trump former chief of staff Mark Meadows tweeted, they didn't just spy on Donald Trump's campaign. They spied on Donald Trump as sitting president of the United States. It was all even worse than we thought. This is crazy. Durham's filing described a startling arrangement involving the tech executive Sussman and others to assemble details about dubious Trump-Russia ties. You don't think the members of the social media world were doing whatever they could to keep this guy out of office and then to destroy his presidency? Quote, in connection with these efforts, Tech Executive One exploited his access to non-public and or proprietary internet data. The filing reads, according to Fox News, Tech Executive One also enlisted the assistance of researchers at a U.S.-based university who are receiving and analyzing large amounts of internet data in connection with a pending federal government cybersecurity research contract. Tech Executive One tasked these researchers to mine internet data to establish, quote unquote, an inference and a narrative tying then candidate Trump to Russia, 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 which was all bogus. Durham reportedly added, in doing so, Tech Exec One indicated that he was seeking to please certain VIPs, referring to individuals at Law Firm One and, wait for it, the Clinton campaign. Wow. Keep your eye on this one. Keep your eye on this one. We'll see. I will. We'll see what happens. But this makes Watergate, to quote a former president, look like the JV team. Man. Talk about the swamp and darkness and takeover. That's all what's going on here. Okay. This was problematic, this story. I'll finish with this one. Catholic priests incorrectly performed thousands of baptisms by changing a word, making them invalid. It's in Fox News today. A priest has resigned from a Catholic church in Phoenix, Arizona, after it was determined he incorrectly performed thousands of baptisms for decades by changing one word. Father Andre Arango resigned from St. Gregory Catholic Church in Phoenix after it was determined he used... here's what he was saying. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch it? What did he say wrong there? We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Instead of the correct phrase, I baptize you. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, according to Thomas J. Olmsted, the Bishop of the Diocese of Phoenix. Quote, the issue with using we is that it is not the community that baptizes a person. Rather, it is Christ and him alone who presides at all of the sacraments. And so it is Christ Jesus who baptizes, Olmsted said. Arango served as a pastor, parochial administrator, parochial vicar, and other religious titles in Arizona, California, and Brazil over the past 20 years. The Diocese of Phoenix said that because of his error, all the baptisms he has performed until June 17, 2021 are presumed invalid. Invalid. The diocese told USA Today and Arango performed thousands of baptisms during his time in his priestly ministry. In a statement, Arango said he was resigning as pastor of the parish effective February 1st. He said, it saddens me to learn that I performed invalid baptisms throughout my ministry as a priest by regularly using an incorrect formula. A formula? For those in the Catholic faith, this is from Fox News. A baptism is a sacrament in which people, typically infants, have water poured over their foreheads, which symbolizes purification and admission to the church. Baptism is a requirement for salvation, according to the Diocese of Phoenix. Following the mishap by Arango, the diocese created an FAQ page, frequently asked questions, an FAQ page designed to answer questions people may have about specific rules. On that page, the diocese stated that if the baptism is invalid and you've received other sacraments, you may need to repeat some or all of them once your baptism is eventually valid. Answering a question on the FAQ page, if an invalid baptism would impact those married by the church, the diocese stated, maybe. Unfortunately, there's no single clear answer. Actually, there is. In his statement, Olmsted said that he did not believe Arango meant to harm the faithful or deprive them of the grace of baptism in the sacraments. On behalf of our local church, I too am sincerely sorry that this error has resulted in a disruption to the sacramental lives of a number of the faithful. So, if he baptized you and said, we baptize you, as opposed to I baptize you, then you're baptized, then your baptism is invalidated, and therefore so is your salvation. Welcome back to the days of the Pharisees. This is the rule. Follow all the rules and you'll be okay. You're not saved by baptism. Baptism is a symbol of your salvation. As they like to say, as we like to say, as I like to say, it's an outward symbol of an inward change. It represents to the public around you what's happened inside of you, in your spirit, in your heart. Down into the water goes your old lost self, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, up to walk in the newness of life, as some of my Southern Baptist friends say. And that's it. The old man has passed away. The new man has come. Born again. Down into the water, the old man dies. Born again into new spiritual life. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Confess and then be baptized. Get saved and get baptized. But baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't save you. It's an act. And so these guys now just told everybody, oh, by the way, your baptism is invalidated because we didn't say it right. We worship in spirit and truth. Not in this case. This is really sad, really disturbing. I'm not bringing this up to like be a Catholic basher or something. I'm just trying to go to what the Bible says. You're not saved by works. Baptism is a work. It's beautiful, but it doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Confess with your mouth. He is Lord. Believe in your heart. He rose from the dead and you will be born again. You will be saved. So, man, this is just... There are consequences to bad theology. And it leaves the church in charge instead of God himself. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.